Today is Wednesday, February 24th, Yud Bet Adar Aleph, and it is Parshat Tetzaveh, and this is part two of our three crowns. So page one here, you can see the three crowns, two from last week's Parsha, the Aron and the Shulchan, and the third one is from this week's Parsha, the Mizbeach Makter Katorit, the incense altar. And I also have the menorah, which does not have a crown, and we're going to see why today, this week, why I included the menorah. So we are going to begin with the midrash. So we saw a gemara last week and basically said the same thing as this midrash, but we're going to learn this midrash to review and maybe learn some more information. I'll just read it in English. Another matter, they shall craft an ark. Why is it that regarding all other vessels, you shall craft is written, and regarding the ark, they shall craft? So it's in the you can see it here, Ve'asu Aron Atze Shittim, and the other ones all say Ve'asita, Ve'asita, Ve'asita. Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Shalom said, the Holy One, blessed be He, said to Moshe, let everyone come and be involved in the Ark, so that all of them will acquire the Torah. So that's why the Aron from last week is in the plural. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, there are three crowns, the crown of kingship, Malchut, crown of priesthood, Kahuna, and the crown of Torah. The crown of kingship, this is the table for the showbread, the lechem hapanim, in whose regard it is written, a golden crown, zer, all around. The crown of priesthood, this is the altar, that's this week, in whose regard it is written, a golden zer, all around. And notice it's not in order. The crown of Torah, this is the ark, in whose regard it is written, a golden crown. Why is it written zar and pronounced zer? So we mentioned this last week as well, that it's zayin resh, which looks like it should read zar. And if we wanted it to be Zer, crown, there would be little Yud in the middle. The crown of Torah, why is it written Zer and pronounced Zer? It is to say to you that if a person merits, they become a crown for him, but if not, they become estranged, Zer. Why is it written regarding all of them, you shall craft for it, and regarding the ark it is written, you shall craft upon it? So here the Hebrew is Ve'asita alav, upon it, and ve'asita lo, and ve'asita lo, to it. So you see the difference. It is to teach you that the crown Torah is superior to all of them. If a person acquires Torah, it is though he acquired all of them. Okay, then we have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, and this is what we're really going to focus on today. And it says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shlosha Ketarim Hem. There are three crowns, Keter Torah, Keter Kehuna, the Keter Malchut. So the crown of Torah, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of kingship. V'keter shem tov ola al gabehem. But the crown of good name supersedes them all. So it's a little odd that it mentions three crowns explicitly, but then the actual Mishnah talks about four crowns, the keter shem tov, the good name going above all of them. And we just saw it kind of contradicts the Midrash, which says that Torah is above them all. And this one says that the crown of a good name is above them all. So we're going to focus on this Mishnah in Pirkei Avot for the next few sources. And we'll see also how they relate to the Parsha. So Rashi on the Mishnah. This is really weird, this Rashi, because he's going to associate the three vessels with different things than he does in the actual Chumash. So from last week, we talked about what Rashi said for each one in his Perush on the Chumash, and now he has a different take. Yeah.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Is there any way you could make it a little bit bigger?
I will make it bigger. I usually do make it bigger. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. No problem. Is that good? Okay, great. Thank you for interrupting. Okay, so Rashi says, Shlosha Ketarim Hem, there are three crowns. And again, this is on the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. Ve'achad eno deme l'shnaim. One is not similar to the other two. Lefi she'ein ha'shnaim shavim b'kol adam. Because those two, the two that are different than the one, he'll explain, are not equal for everyone. She'i efshar lo le'adam liot kohen. It's impossible for a man to become a kohen, elim ken hu mizera ha'kuhuna, unless he is from the line of Aaron. V'chi'i efshar liot melech. It's also impossible to become king. Unless he is worthy of the kingship. But when it comes to the crown of Torah, it's possible for anyone who wants to busy themselves with it. Kedamar mar, as the rabbi said, yagati umetzati ta'amin. When he says, I toiled and then I found, you believe him. As opposed to that Gemara says, if he says, I toiled and I didn't find, you don't believe him. And if he says, I didn't toil and I found, the opposite, then you also don't believe him. You only believe him when he says, I toiled and I found. And that's why the crown of Torah is bigger than the other two. Because, so he's kind of explaining the Mishnah, that, I mean the Midrash that we have, but here this Mishnah says that the crown of good name goes upon all of them. Shehu mishubach mikulam, because he's more praiseworthy than the rest. Mi sheyesh lo shem tov uma asim tovim. So Rashi saying here, somebody who has a good name, which Rashi seems to be adding into and associating with good acts, nimsa imbo, and good acts found in him. Shenemar tov shem mishemen tov. As it says, it's a pasuk in Kohelet, a good name is better than good oil. Tov shemam Chananya Mishael v'Azaria. So the names of these three men who are featured in the book of Daniel, and they're all thrown into the fiery furnace, Chananya, Mishael, v'Azaria, Shayu Balei Ma'asim Tovim, they had very many good acts, Minadav v'Avihu, more good acts than Nadav and Avihu, Shenim Shechu v'Shem and Hamishcha, who were anointed with the anointing oil as Kohanim. They were the sons of Aaron. They feature in Parshat Shmini when we get to Vayikra in a few weeks. Sharei halalu nisrafu, because Nadav and Avihu were burnt in the Mishkan for bringing a strange fire. V'halalu lo nisrafu. In the meantime, Chananya, Mishael, v'Azaria, who did not have any anointing oil upon them, didn't have any special status, they were thrown into the fiery furnace and they survived. They were not burnt. So you see how a good name is better than good oil. And here, Rashi's taking the good oil literally as the anointing oil. And he gives another, it says, Nusach Acher, another, which I think here means another version. The Siman L'Shloshet K'tarim Elu. So the sign for these three crowns is Ha'aron, the ark, from last week's parsha. Dichtiv Ve'Asit L'Azer Zahav, Hainu Keter Torah. So it says make a gold crown, and that's the crown of Torah. Zer Shulchan, the crown of the Shulchan, Dichtiv Asit Zer Zahav, which it also says make a golden crown, Zer Keter Kahuna. So unlike in last week's parsha, where Rashi associates the Shulchan with the Malchut because it represents the materialism of the king, like the king's table, here he's saying the Shulchan is the crown of priesthood. She'akohanim zochim ve'ochlim ha'lechem shalav, because the Kohanim are the ones who eat the lechem hapanim, the showbread, that are on this Shulchan. So Rashi here is associating that with the kahuna. Zer mizbeach, the crown of the altar, which we had previously associated with the kahuna, the priesthood, dichtiv ve'asit alo zer zahav, that has a golden crown around it. Hainu dugma leketer malchut. Rashi here is saying that this is the kingship crown. Shekol Yisrael meshubadim lamizbeach, because it says all of Israel are beholden to the altar. Uponim alav lahakrik korbanof, and they turn to it to bring their offerings. Dehu inyan melucha shel kol ba'in etzlo. And this is a matter of kingship because everybody comes to it. So I don't know why. I couldn't find anybody commenting on why Rashi changes his associations here, but that's what he does. And then the fourth one, V'keter Shem Tov, Klomar al Yedehen, Hu ba im osek v'Torah, Nimsa Shem Tov alav. By way of these three things, if he's busy with Torah, then the good name comes upon him. V'chein Kohen, Hamuzhar be'avodatav, and so too a Kohen, who's careful in his service, Yetzah Shem Tov alav. He also gets a good name. V'chein Melech Hamanhig et Amo v'tzadek u'mishvat. And so to a king who rules his nation with righteousness and justice, he also has a good name. And why does it use this phrase al gabehem on top of them all? Al kulam, on all of them. Below nihira di'im kein arbak terim hen mibai. And it's not clear because it seems like the Mishnah should have said that there are four crowns. So he's leaving that as a question. Now we have the Derech HaChaim, which is the Maharal, who we look at a lot, and he had a lot of philosophical writings. So here's his commentary on Pirkei Avot. And Safaria had the English translation, so I'll just read the English. Rabbi Shimon says, there are three crowns. It may be asked about that which he said, three crowns, and why did he not say four crowns? So he also asked the same question that Rashi asks. And he did not count the main crown, which is the crown of good name. So of all the crowns now to be counted in the three, why was it the crown of good name? And also difficult, in the temple there was a vessel corresponding to all crowns, one hinting to each crown. For behold, there was a rim, which is a crown, on the ark, symbolic of the crown of Torah. There was a rim on the table, and that was symbolic of the crown of monarchy. So the Maharal here goes back to our original associations, unlike the Rashi we just read. It is like they say the table of kings. And there was a rim on the altar, symbolic of the crown of priesthood. And it is like they said in Tractate Yoma about all these three crowns, which is the Gemara we learned last week. But there was nothing in the temple corresponding to the crown of a good name, which is above all the crowns. And in Midrash Rava, they said on Parshat Naso, I did spend quite a bit of time looking for this Midrash. I couldn't find it. I apologize, but we'll trust the Maharal, that the menorah hints to the crown of a good name. So that's why I included the menorah in the original four psukim, four kelim, vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, because the Maharal is saying the menorah is a good name. For a good name is upon one who is a master of commandments. And that is a menorah, as it is stated in Mishlei, for the commandment is a lamp, and the Torah is light. I just want to read that to you. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. That's the pasuk in Mishlei. So that which he says, but the crown of a good name rises above them, comes out well. For the menorah is also above these three vessels. I think it's taller. We can go back to our little thing here. Here's the menorah and everything else. Okay. And then I also included this paragraph from the Derech Chaim. So now he's going to explain why the menorah doesn't have a crown. But regarding the crown of good name, there is no culmination or end to this crown, for it rises higher and higher and expands infinitely, as will be explained. So for all the other three crowns, there's a limitation how far you can go. It's finite. But a good name is infinite. Hence, it is inappropriate that there would be a crown on the menorah. That indicates a good name. Rather, it is written, to draw up a lamp constantly, for this crown rises higher and higher constantly, since there is no end to this crown. And that is why there is no crown in the temple that indicated the crown of a good name. For if so, there would be a culmination and a limit to this crown. Okay, so that is what I quoted from the Derech Chaim, the Maharal. Now, I was a little intellectually dishonest. Instead of quoting the rest of the Maharal, which is quite lengthy, and you can find it on Safari in English. I think I included the rest of the Hebrew at the end of the source sheet. We're not going to go into it. But the Shem Mishmuel, who is Rav Shmuel ben Rabbi Avram Bornstein, the son of the Admir Sakachev. He was the Sakachever Rebbe, and he was born in 1856, died in 1926. So he very nicely summarizes what was interesting about the continuation of the Derech Chaim. And not only that, but in the original Derech Chaim, he says some not very nice things about women, and the Shem Mishmuel omits those things. So that's why I'm including the Shem Mishmuel. It's shorter, more succinct, and doesn't include the offensive things about women. So, but you are welcome to go see what the Maharal says, because it is fascinating, but Shem Mishmuel does a nice job summarizing it. V'hineh b'Derech Chaim, so that's the name of the Maharal's writing, Sham, there, on the Pirkei Avot, and just note, all of the following Shem Mishmuels are from our Parsha, Tetzaveh. Ki elu gimel haktarim, Torah umachut ukthuna, so these three crowns, Torah, kingship, and priesthood, hem keneged ha'adam, they actually correspond to a person. Ki yesh ba'adam gimel chalakim, because a man has three parts to him. Hasechel, wisdom, v'hanefesh, and the soul, v'haguf, and the body. So these are three distinct parts of what makes a human being. Intellect, soul, and body. Keter Torah keneged hasechel. So the crown of Torah corresponds to wisdom, to intellect. V'keter kehuna keneged haguf. And the crown of the priesthood corresponds to the body. Ki ha-kehuna hi ma'alat u'kedushat haguf shenolad min ha-kohen. Because the priesthood is the level, is the high level and the holiness of the body that's born from a Kohen. Ve'av ha-Kohen enon neten levan et leben lo ha-nefesh ve'lo ha-seichel ela ha-guf levad. And the father of the Kohen gives over to his children not his soul and not his intellect, but rather all that matters is that his body. Lefichach mumim poslim behem ki hamum hu baguf. And this I thought was really interesting and is worth going into more deeply on a future date. Therefore, if you know all the laws about a Kohen, so many physical things that we wouldn't even consider bad or anything disqualify a Kohen from serving in the temple. He's still a Kohen and he can still eat the special Kohen food, but if he has any of these physical, what the Torah considers deficiencies, like being left-handed or having an outie belly button, among many other types of actual maybe things that appear not symmetrical or whatever it might be, they are disqualified from serving in the Beis Mikdash. And I thought this was a really fascinating explanation because that is, you are a Kohen by virtue of who your father was. And it has nothing to do with your soul or your intellect. And that's just who you are. It's the body. And that's why the body is such an important part in the Kohen's service in the Beis Mikdash. So I thought that was really interesting. V'keter malchut k'neged ha-nefesh. So the crown of kingship corresponds to the soul. Ki ha-nefesh hi menaheget et kol ivarei ha-adam. Because it's the soul that rules over or directs all of the limbs of man. V'adam mikabel hanhaga min ha-nefesh. V'hu domeh el ha-melech shehu po'el u-moshel. And man receives all of his instructions, directions, rulings from the soul, and it's similar to a king that acts and rules. V'zeh she'omer lev melech biyad Hashem, the heart of a king is in the hand of Hashem, ki ha-melech domeh el ha-lev she'sham ha-nefesh ha-chiyoni. The king is similar to the heart, just like in that pasuk, and because that is where the vital soul is, the vitality of the soul. V'kativ ki biyadcha nefesh kol chai, and it's also written, in your hand is every living thing. U'mizeh teda ma she'amru zal, ki ha-melech chodem le-kohen. And now we can understand this hierarchy. A king comes before a kohen, the kohen gadol even. V'achacham chodem le-melech, but the wise person precedes the king. So these are, in certain hierarchical circumstances, this would be the order. And this goes according to the levels and the heights of these things. Asher elu shlosha kenegdam b'nei adam, that these three things correspond to man. Ad kan lashono b'kitzur lashon ma'at. That's the end of my quotation from the Derech Chaim in very short, abbreviated language. Thank God, because you guys didn't have to sit through the offensive female things about women. Okay. So now, second Shem Yishmael. Shem Yishmael had really amazing insights on these three things, and they're so different. So this one is going to be so different from the next one. Ube'aniyotan, and in their humility, nira lefaresh dihine yesh lehitbonen b'inyan haketer, shehu more al memshala u'melucha. So we need to really meditate, understand deeply in this matter of the crown. Because when we think of a crown, we think about rulership and kingship. Ve'en bekan ha-perush memshala al zulato. And it's you can't take this explanation, this image of rulership and kingship, doesn't really seem to fit here in our Mishnah. Shemi lo mishkachat keter Torah, she'yoshev ve'osek b'Torah b'chadrei chadarim. Because learning Torah is something that can be done in privacy of your inner chamber, ve'ein ish yodea mimenu, and nobody else knows about it. So if you are sitting there learning Torah, and you've earned the crown of Torah, why is the image a crown which signifies some kind of rulership and power? What kind of power does this guy sitting alone in his room have just because he learns Torah? U'ba'asher keter Torah bevadai in ha-pirush moshel zulato. And for sure, the crown of Torah, its explanation, he doesn't rule over anybody besides himself. And through that understanding of the crown of Torah, We will also understand that the crown of kahuna and even the crown of kingship aren't brought of any kind of rulership of anybody except for himself, Ela al atzmo. Shiyem Moshel Berucho Vilibo Berushuto, because really he's only ruling over his own spirit and his heart and anything within his own authority. Ukinyan Shamar Katuv, and it's like the Pasuk says, Tover Chapayim Gibor, Moshel Berucho Melukad. One who is slow to anger is better than a mighty man, and one who rules over his spirit is better than one who conquers a city. So you can see the direction he's going here, that what is true power? True power is having control over yourself. Ukmo shekatav ha'Ibn Ezra, he's quoting the Ibn Ezra in Bamidbar, in the whole section of a nazir, the one who foregoes wine and all sorts of other things for a period of time. B'shem nazir. So what is this word, nazir? Where does it come from? So you can imagine that it's somehow related to zer. Ki nazir elokav arasho, ki kol b'nei adam abdei tavat olam. So I'll read you the English of the Ibn Ezra. Some say that the word nazir, Nazirite, is related to the word nezer, crown, because his consecration, nezer, unto God is upon his head, is proof of this. This interpretation is not far-fetched. This is the Ibn Ezra saying this. Note that most people are slaves to worldly lusts. The true king, the one who has a crown, the one who wears the royal diadem, is the person who is free from lust. So the Ibn Ezra confirms what the Shemi Shmuel uses the Ibn Ezra to confirm what he's saying, that having control over yourself is the ultimate control. And he finishes the quotation from the Ibn Ezra with Ad kan l'shono hazahav. Up till here, this is the end of his golden quote. Ubinyan ha-kitarim she'anu medabrim behem nichlal shiyu shalit berucho. So with the matter of the crowns that we're speaking about them, it's that he has control over his spirit. Shiyu bilti shum tarovet machshavet pigul lekanter ulit ga'ot b'chokhmat torato. So that he shouldn't have any mixture of any kind of unclean thought or mocking or arrogance on his Torah wisdom. Ulubilti rom levavo me'achav, and he shouldn't have arrogance over his brethren. Af sheteva ha'enoshi notelezeh, even if the nature of man leads him to this, to feel arrogant and to mock other people. B'zehu keter Torah, and that's the crown of Torah, that whatever he gains in his Torah knowledge, he stays humble and is still accepting of other people. Keter kahuna, keter malchut. So it's also of the priesthood and the kingship. Shekol echad me'elo nitrach leketer u'memshala. Each of these three things need a crown and rulership. Shiyesh shalit berucho. That he controls his own spirit. And he won't be drawn to what nature is drawing him. And this, having this type of control, I think it means a gift from heaven. The lev matana, I wasn't sure to translate as a gift of the heart, or a mituna would mean like a balanced heart. So having this kind of balance, so either way, is a gift from shamayim. That he should have it in his power to rule over his spirit. And that's what the crown of these three vessels points to. So the commandments of these vessels with the crown, this is a metaphor for this power and control, haniten mashamayim, that's given from the heavens, ube'emtzo tam, and through these three vessels, zochin lelev matana, we merit to this either balanced heart or the gift of the heart by understanding the metaphor of these three things and their crowns, and we can gain control over these three areas of our lives. Okay, now the final Shem Yishmael, which is really deep and brings us to Purim because it's Adar, and all of these parshiot, I've spoken about this before in previous shirim, how all of these parshiot with the Mishkan, which include Techelet, royal blue, argamon, purple, shani, scarlet, kesef, silver, zahav, gold, nechoshet, copper, the only other place where we find all of these colors and metals linked together in one place is in the palace of Achashverosh. So hearing these parshiot several times before Purim forces us to really take stock of where are we and where are we directing our hearts and minds. So this is not going to bring us to Purim in that direction at all. He's not talking about that at all. I'm just telling you the connection that I feel brings us there. And this is a really deep connection, and I really enjoyed learning it. Okay, so there's a little background, and I included in the source sheet, I copied and pasted from Aish.com, which includes somebody summarizes the Shema Shmuel each week, which goes into some of the things that this Shema Shmuel references. It's not, that English translation is not this Shema Shmuel at all, but he does talk about some of the things that he references here that I'll briefly mention. So, V'hine lumat shlosha k'tarim v'keter shem tov she'ola gabehem. So, with regard, again, you can see that this is from Parshat Tetzaveh, our Parsha this week, but he's talking about our Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. So, corresponding to the three crowns, and the crown of good name that goes up upon them all. Shehem makbilim l'shlosha avot Moshe Rabbeinu, alav shalom. So he explains in other places, I think you can get a taste of it in the English below, to the three avot, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and then the Keter Shem Tov is Moshe Rabbeinu. V'shlosha moadim v'shabbat, also the three ketarim, correspond to Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuot, with Shabbat being the Shem Tov that goes above them all. So he's not going to, that's, he talks about other places. Lumatam betum'ah, shalosh malchiyot malchut Edom. So in contrast to those, all those things that they might correspond to, is the impurity of the three kingships, foreign kingships, and the kingship of Edom. Shetamsit hara shebe'esav hu amalek. Because the essence of evil that is in Esav is Amalek. We've talked about this Amalek last year, that Amalek was one of Esav's grandchildren. U'b'shalosh ha-malchuyot ha-rishonot, echen makbilot le'umat shloshet ha-avot v'shlosh ha-regalim, kavar dibarnu l'madai. So he already explained somewhere else how these three first kingships that we as a people experienced, and how, not counting Egypt, after Egypt, and how they are parallel to the three avot and the three chagim, he already spoke of that. Ve'en mehatzorach lichpol hadvarim, he doesn't want to be repetitive. Ve'lo nishneh, and he's not going to repeat it. Ela bishvil davar shenitchadesh bo, except for what we can see even more new things through it. So he's reminding of us, he's not going into it in depth, but he will have more chidushim, more new things from it. Shehem hafachim l'shlosha k'tarim. These three nations are the opposite of the three crowns. Malchut Bavel, so first the Babylonian kingship, haya inyana l'daka tachat ragla kol asirei ha'aretz. The whole goal of the kingship of Bavel was to step on all of those bound to the land, all of its subjects. Bilim shomem shala bilti mugbelet. And to rule the kind of rulership that is without bounds, like a totalitarian regime. Kmo shetir'ah shebishvil shelo yadu hachartumim v'chochmei bavel la'agid lo ma shechalam. So he's referring to the book of Sefer Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he didn't know, A, what his dream was, and even more so, he didn't know what the solution to the dream was. And he called all of his wise men to tell him both his dream and the solution to his dream. And he said, when nobody could come up with it, laharog kol chochmei Bavel, he was just going to kill all of the wise men of Bavel. And this is the famous story of Daniel being saving his life and the life of his friends and receiving both the dream and the solution and giving it over. V'hetil ema yetera al kol ha'olam, and they cast extra fear on the whole world. Midrash ema zababel, to the point where in the Midrash it says, fear is Babel, Babylonia. Hipuch keter malchut Yisrael. This is the opposite of the kingship of Israel. Shemalchei chesed hem, because they were kings of chesed, of kindness. Kmo shekatuv ve'achav, and this is really ironic because Achav is the husband of Isabel, so we don't hear such good things about them. But despite that, we see the pasuk, and a servant said to him, behold, we have now heard that the kings of the house of Israel are kindly kings. That was the word on the street. Magam malchut beit David, shenim shalah lemei hashiloach ha'ochim la'at. Also the kingship of David, which is compared to a running spring that goes slowly. V'inyan malchut Yisrael lamshich shefa l'chol ha'olam. And the whole matter of the kingship of Israel is to bring forth flow of blessing to all the world. Moshe Katuvitz, it's written in Mishlei, and this is from Eshet Chayil. She rises when it's still night, she gives food to her household and an allotted share to her maidens. So I think the metaphor here is that the woman in this, is the kingship of Israel giving out to everyone else in the world. And this is the opposite of the Babylonian kingship, Shenikra Mashchit Goyim, which Jeremiah refers to as the destroyer of nations. So that's Babel. Malchut Paras Umadai, the Persian and Median Empire, Hayat Inyana Hit Mashchut Achar Taiva, V'ni'uf. So their characteristic and the characteristic of their kingship was drawing after all your desires and adultery. So the Shem Nishmol already spoke about that many times at length. It's the greatest example of the Persian Empire is the meal of Achashverosh and how over the top it was. This is the opposite of the crown of priesthood. Because the attribute of a Kohen, by definition, is Chesed. And what exactly is this attribute of chesed? It's to give out to other people besides himself. It's to do for other people. And to unite by virtue of doing chesed for other people, to unite the upper world and the lower world. Umidata taiva, whereas the attribute of physical desires, hu hi puch miza, this is the opposite. Because everyone's intention is just to fulfill his own desires of his soul. And this creates a separation between the higher and the lower worlds. And the attribute of desire is the opposite. Oh, sorry, I read that. Ka'amram Zatzal, like our rabbi said, and this is the context. Bilam said to them, the God of these Jewish people despises lewdness. Elokehem shel elu sona zimahu. And they desire linen garments, as they have no garments. Come and I will give you advice. This is the advice Bilam gave to the Moabites and the Midianites, who failed Bilam. When Bilam failed at cursing Bnei Israel, he gave them this advice. This is how you get to them. Make for them enclosures using wall hangings and seat prostitutes in them, with an old woman outside the enclosure and a young woman inside, and have the women sell them linen garments. So that is indeed a huge, terrible plague came on Bnei Israel that Pinchas put an end to. The Kativ, and it says in Mishlei, he who is separated seeks lust. Kamosha Katuva Ibn Ezra, quoting Ibn Ezra again, and look there. Hipuch midat ha-kohen. This is the opposite of the Kohen. So Paras, the Persian and Median Empire, was the opposite of the Kohanim. Ubezeh yesh lefresh inyan achashverosh shelavash bigdei kohuna. And not only that, but we have an association of achashverosh having worn the clothing of the kohuna at his great big party. Hainu lehitz pa'er. That was to lift, to brag about himself, shegavar al midat ha-kohuna, that he overpowered that attribute of the priesthood. Belakach et chesed de kedusha, and he took the kindness of holiness, shehi ahava, which is love, lahavut chitzoniot, to this external love. Okay, so Babel is power and not, like, it's, I think they're both kind of, is hateful power, totalitarianism, and Paras and Madai are desire and lust. And now Yavan, Malchut Yavan, Shaya Inyana Hit Mashchut L'Chochmat Chitzoniut. So Yavan was about wisdom but it was about external wisdom. Hi hipuch keter Torah, v'zemuvar, which is the opposite of Torah, and that is obvious. So he doesn't explain that, but it is pretty obvious. V'almachut ha-revi'it, so now the fourth kingship, and this is the keter shem tov, the crown of a good name. Shetamtzita hi klipat amalek, that its essence is the peel, the horribleness of Amalek. Makbila lumat keter shem tov. This is parallel to the crown of a good name. Shepeirashnu shehu lishma b'tachlit. So he explains in other places that the crown of a good name is doing things for its own sake with zero ulterior motives. That's what the crown of good name is. So it fits above all of these three other things because you do it with no ulterior motive. Ken Amalek betum'ah, she'as soneh betachlit l'Yisrael, and Amalek with their impurity that hated at its very core Israel, k'mo nachash, like a snake, she'kavanato l'hazik, whose entire intent is to destroy. Alken nikrachat nachash, and therefore Amalek is called nachash, as it says in the Midrash Rabbah and Bereishit, and the name of the second river is Gihon. This refers to a Medea, so even though it says it refers to Medea, it's specifically about Haman, and Haman was an Amalekite. He would disseminate its people like a serpent. Upon your belly, Gichon Chal you shall go. So Haman, who represents Amalek, even though in the Midrash it's representing Medea, is called a snake. V'chein hu b'Rashi v'mekomo, and Rashi also in Bereishit, ba'nachash v'nashcho, v'chein hu v'payet, shenikra nachash. So Rashi, in the place of the war with Amalek, calls Amalek a snake, and so too does the Paitan, one of the Hebrew poets, calls Amalek a snake. V'hainu shekol chayot ha-tarfot, kavanatan lehanatan. And that is the intention of all of the unkosher animals. Their intent is for their own enjoyment. V'chein gimel ha-malchiyot ha-rishonot she'ayu nimshachot l'avod ha-zara gilui ha-ariot v'shvichut damim. So these three kingdoms that we mentioned earlier, not Amalek, Bavel, Paras, Madai, and Yavan, correspond to idolatry, sexual, inappropriate sexual relations, and murder. V'bishvil zeh hayu son'im l'Yisrael. And it was because this is what they stood for that they hated Israel. And I think we really see this today. Shehen omid omdim la satan al darkam, because Israel is standing there as a satan, like a stumbling block on their way. They can't live their lives based in idolatry, inappropriate sexual relationships, and murder, because we are standing there as a moral authority and opposed to that. And we stand as a barrier in front of them to fulfilling their desires. And this is the explanation in the Gemara on Achashverosh when he says to Esther, you can have up to half the kingdom. So what does that mean, until half the kingdom? So the Gemara there says only half the kingdom, but not the whole kingdom, and not something that would serve as a barrier. So the word chetzi, half, is similar to the word chatzitza, which is a barrier. So not something that would serve as a barrier to the kingdom, as there is one thing to which the kingdom will never agree. And what is that? The building of the temple. If that shall be your wish, realize that it will not be fulfilled. Because that the existence of the temple would serve as a barrier to them fulfilling their desires of the three cardinal sins. V'zehu ikar sinatam l'Yisrael. And this is the essence of their hatred of Israel. Aval Amalek tamtzit malchut ha-rasha son'im l'Yisrael be'etzem. But Amalek is even worse. So the other kingdoms hate what Israel stands for. But Amalek, the essence of its evil, wicked kingdom, hates Israel just by virtue of being Israel. This is scary how familiar it is. Ukmosha pasa Amalek arba me'ot parsa uba. And the Midrash says that when Amalek came to attack Israel, they were able to walk quite a distance in a very short time just to attack us. Af she'yada shelo alav hemochim. Even though Amalek knew that Israel had no intention of attacking them, we weren't going to take over their land. That wasn't part of the plan. Amalek were not the people that we were commanded to go to war against. They're not part of the seven nations. They're descendants of Esav. not Canaan. Vehuhi puch legamrei me'inyan keter shem tov. This is the absolute opposite of the fourth crown, the crown of good name. Shehu lishma v'tachlit bli kavana tova atzmit. This, the crown of a good name, is when somebody is willing to do something just for the sake of doing it without any kind of personal benefit. V'zeh tachlit hara bli kavana atzmit, ela rak lahakzik labad. And this is the purpose of the evil, without any, they don't expect any personal gain. In fact, they might even get hurt in the process, like Amalek did. They just want to destroy. That's all they want. Ulefi ha'amor yuvno ma'amrei kodesh shel she'amalek hipuch legamrei mishabbat. And then in his other metaphors that he brings in, Amalek also represents the opposite of Shabbat. And Shabbat, with the three chagim, also represents the crown of a good name. Okay, so we have these three things with crowns, and we've read a lot of different metaphors of what they represent. And we ended, which is something that we're only too conscious about, but then this idea to relate all the events of our present time to Purim and to Haman, the Amalekite of that time, to understand who is Amalek right now, and to understand that the importance of the existence of the Jewish people in the world even more, and the light that we should take great responsibility in trying to bring to the world. Thank you.